It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Ready to go. Cardinals first down at the 43. The snap. Murray pressured. Bills rush forward. Murray's in trouble. Gets away from it. Rolls to his left. Fires it downfield. Puts it up for grabs. And it is
caught.
Caught. Caught for a touchdown. Unbelievable.
Back to throw. Flushed down. Rolling left in trouble. Slips a tackle. Got to launch it. He does. Left side. Into the end zone. Jump ball. And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left.
The Bills call and then the Cardinals call. But who was calling it on national radio for Compass Media was our guest, Chad Brown. Courtesy of the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Chad, what was that like to be on that broadcast?
It was a fantastic game, obviously. Came down to the end, clearly. Two of the best young quarterbacks in the league. You know, two receivers with Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins, who the general managers recognized they needed one more piece for their offense. They made those trades for those guys. And all four of those guys made big plays at the end of the game to give our team a tremendous chance to win the game. And in some ways, you know, during the course of the game, I've always think about what's happened here in Denver to look at the success of those two young quarterbacks versus the success of the young quarterback we have here in Denver.
Where does that Hail Mary stand, man? I mean, I think my memory is certainly right. You missed the Miracle Michigan by 1 year. Is that right? Were you at
yes,
that game?
I was a rookie in the NFL.
Okay.
I was a rookie in Pittsburgh.
Where does that Hail Mary stand, man? I mean, that was one of the most unbelievable ones I've ever seen.
First, it takes a tremendous athlete like Kyler Murray to spin around the pocket and buy time and all that. It takes a guy with tremendous arm strength. And then for DeAndre Hopkins to not just out-jump, but out-muscle. And then even once he was trying to come down with the ball, there were those Bills defenders trying to pull that ball out of his hands and be able to have the grown man strength in his hands to hold on to that football. Now, normally, you listen to, you know, games on the radio. The touchdown call, you let the play-by-play guy take that.
Right.
And you just are quiet as the color guy. I think I said, wow, like three times. Oh, my goodness, wow. So I was one of those guys where I was, you know, such a fan of the moment in the game at that point that I lost track of my role within the booth. To your point, Tyler, given the enormity of that moment and how amazing that play was, how could you not?
We seem to be on a week-to-week evaluation process here with Drew Locke, and as Tyler has pointed out, time is ticking, especially if Drew is not healthy enough to play this Sunday. Where are you in your evaluation of Drew Locke?
The window for opportunity is clearly getting much smaller. And to see him out there last week with the four interceptions, it felt like watching a – I don't know if you guys have been out in the water, say in California. They got these things called riptides. And they are kind of confusing because you don't necessarily feel like you're being pulled away from the ocean. But no matter how hard you swim – those riptides start to pull you slowly further and further away from the shore. I kind of felt that for Drew Locke on Sunday with, you know, he's certainly trying and trying to make plays and trying to do things out there, but he's getting further and further and further away of being a competent NFL quarterback and getting further and further away from his fundamentals and his techniques because he's just trying anything and trying so hard. So, he was caught up in the riptide of a ineffective team around him, an offense that's on its fifth offensive tackle, young receivers, clearly a play caller who does not fully understand the best situations to put Drew Locke in, and he's struggling with his own inefficiencies at this point as well.
I don't know if you could tangibly put your finger on it, but what would you have to see out of Drew Locke to know that he is the guy moving forward?
We need to see a couple of bounce-back performances. I need to see a guy who has the ability to correct some of these, you know, again, these fundamental mistakes. It's easy to, you know, and I did it myself coming out on to start this call, talking about those quarterbacks I saw on Sunday with Kyler Murray and Josh Allen, to compare Drew Locke to all these other quarterbacks, young quarterbacks around the league. Most of those guys came out of college just simply further ahead than Drew Locke is as a quarterback. Justin Herbert clearly has a great understanding of his footwork. He has a great understanding of progressions and how plays play out and where to expect receivers to be and how defenses are going to play him. Drew Lock is still struggling with all those basics, plus trying to deal with another offensive coordinator, plus trying to deal with young wide receivers who don't always know where they're supposed to be. So it's a lot for him to overcome. So if he's able to start to make some progress despite all those shortcomings, I think he would warrant another chance. But if we continue to see regression like we saw on Sunday, then I think the writing on the wall is quite clear.
Fellas, is there a number? A number where it's burned it to the ground? A number where Joe Ellis just says, I can't wait another year. I've got to let John Elway go, and whoever's coming in next to have that job should have free reign on coach, quarterback, all those sort of things. Do we have a number that would make sense to make that decision?
Tyler, I'll let you go.
Oh, boy.
We're at three.
Well, we're close. I mean, we're dangerously close. The reality is you're only looking at a win or two more, you know, a best-case scenario in my book. I don't think you're getting three or four. And anything in that ballpark, I think you're still in that conversation.
So
anything less than that, and I think it's guaranteed.
Five. What do you mean less?
Oh, if you didn't win another game, it's guaranteed.
So three's a number. Ben, three's a number. Is four a number?
Probably.
Five a number?
That's getting questionable.
Questionable at five. What do you think, Chad?
My thoughts are I'm having a difficulty seeing Joe Ellis fire John Elway. I can see him doing the D-Max scenario where John keeps his title still, but there's someone else who comes in and helps him with the draft or begins to take over that process for the eventual taking over the franchise once John's contract is done. It's hard for me to imagine that Joe Ellis is going to just walk into John Elway's office and say, you're done as a Bronco. It's just really difficult to imagine. I think if the scenarios that you guys just laid out happen, it would be warranted. But despite the earnestness of making that move, it's hard to imagine that it really truly happening as long as Joe Ellis is going to be firing John Elway, the face of the Denver Broncos. When he became the general manager of the Broncos, I said he instantly has become the most unfireable general manager, not just in football, but in all of sports. And now the scenario has played out to almost the worst case, and is proving to be the case that he's just going to be that difficult to let go.
Where are you at with Vic Fangio?
I think Vic Fangio has to be on the hot seat. I think all the coordinators, special teams, offense, defense, and Vic Fangio as well, because he's essentially the co-defensive coordinator, are on the hot seat here. And when the team starts to fall apart like we saw on Sunday, when you can't even get the proper number of guys on the field, when you got 12 guys in the field, you're forced to call a timeout. You have 9 guys in the field. You run somebody the 10th guy on, but it's not an 11th guy on the field. And they end up scoring a touchdown. You're not even executing the absolute core basics. And I talked about this earlier today when I was on with Stoke. My Pop Warner team, where I was, you know, the head coach for several years, I made sure that all my assistant coaches knew that we were going to have 11 guys on the field every time. So whenever we had a change of personnel, we went to a special teams play. Alert every single kid on the sideline. We got punt coming up. Punt team, get ready. Little Billy, remember you're replacing Timmy because Timmy got hurt. Be ready to go, Billy. It seems ridiculous as an NFL coach that you have to do that. But when you've had the amount of turnovers and injuries that this team has had, you have to do that. And there's simply no excuse to not have the proper number of players on the field.
Mm. All right, I got something fun for you guys.
Okay.
Aqib Talib had his broadcast debut.
Oh, I meant to watch it. How'd it go?
Well, I haven't heard it either, but we have a couple of clips. Chad's obviously a broadcaster. Tyler, you've done plenty of broadcasting, yep, TV sort of stuff. I got three different clips of Talib, so are you guys ready to evaluate Aqib Talib?
Wait to hear it.
All right, here
can't
we go.
Wait to hear it.
He was on the Washington football team against the Detroit Lions. You know, the premier game of the week. So here we go. Opening possession about Alex Smith.
We are going to see Alex Smith start his first game in 720 28 days. Akeem, you are very familiar with this man.
Very familiar with Alex Smith. He's a good quarterback, man. All I can remember is Alex Smith winning football games. I can remember they mentioning his name with the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's as far as wins. So I'm looking forward to it, man. He has a full week to prepare, and I'm looking forward to seeing him start this today.
All right, he's obviously a little nervous there. That's kind of the opening thing. He throws in man a couple times, and then he does a very classic crunch.
Oh, no, but that's Akeem. I think he'd be crazy to not be Akeem.
The classic crunch is you repeat exactly what has just been said to you because you're not exactly sure. You just start talking. Chad, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the appeal to Akeem is just, you know, don't try to turn him into a pro broadcaster. They're bringing Akeem on to be Akeem. Now, that could have been smoother, and clearly the open is the most nerve-wracking part of a broadcast for a young broadcaster.
Right. All right, so all right. Okay.
I didn't think that was terrible.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't terrible. It was far better than my first open. Way better than my first open.
Okay. To leave about breaking down a Matthew Stafford touchdown.
Stafford going to the air. Little punk thing. Has a man deep, flag down. He's open. Marvin Hall touchdown. Let's see what the penalty is here. 55 yards.
I think that'll stand, Dan. I think that flag is going to be on the defense.
Defense number 29. That penalty is declined. The result of the play is a touchdown.
Right.
And that's Kendall Fuller, the talented corner. Here's another look, Keep.
Kendall Fuller, he was in a good position. Just I think he bit on a comeback route that wasn't there. I mean, he's got the deep third. He's got the deep third. He just has to cover the deep third, man. Look at Matt Stafford excited about that early bomb.
I like it.
I think he sounds great.
I like that right there.
It's not super great broadcasting as you draw it up when you go to broadcasting school, but again, they hired him to be a key.
Right.
And somehow they're hoping he grows into that broadcasting role. And that was a good example of what he can bring.
I'm not going to lie. That was much more professional than I thought it was going to be.
That was pretty good right there.
He still sounded like himself.
Yeah.
I would say so far it's all encouraging.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. And they had a walk-off. Our guy Prater hit a 59-yard bomb to win the game for the Lions. Here we go.
Welcome in. If you're joining us from the Green Bay game, tied at 27, Matt Prater attempting the game-winning field goal from 59 yards out. Looks like a knuckler, and it's through. Lions win. The first home win of the season for Detroit.
What a leg.
Despite the career day from Alex Smith, Matthew Prater and Matthew Stafford coming up huge.
Huge win by the Lions. Great, entertaining game. I couldn't ask for a better game, man.
Hey, this was fun, man.
All right, what do you guys think?
Fun, man. I honestly think it's good. You enjoy the moment. You know, there's things that he certainly could get better at. But, bring your energy, man. I think he sounds good.
I thought he sounded really good for his first broadcast. Again, he's got the basics right. He called his partner by the correct name. Sometimes broadcasters screw that one up. He didn't call the Washington football team their old name. All those kinds of dummy first-time mistakes, he didn't make those. And again, he recovered nicely from what was a very clearly nervous open to his more confident close to call at the end of the ballgame. So good job by him.
All right, way to go, Akeem. That's awesome. Hopefully we can hear more throughout the years and the rest of the season. Way to go, Akeem Tlaib. All right, Chad, we appreciate it, dude.
See you, bud.